Today we've reached the midpoint of the fast, and so the church sets the cross before us, and along with the cross, the words that we just read from the gospel, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In just a few weeks, we're going to see vividly depicted in the Holy Week services what that meant for Christ to take up his cross, particularly the Holy Friday services beginning with 12 Passion Gospels, which are on the evening of Holy Thursday. At the end of that service, after we recount all the Gospels, we read all the Gospels that describe the Passion of our Savior, the service ends with the dismissal, "May Christ, the true God, who for the salvation of the world endured spitting, scourging, buffeting, the cross, and death," etc. That's what it meant for Christ to take up his cross. But Christ tells us to take up our own cross and to follow him. So the question we should ask is, what does that mean for us? Well, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, in a reading that we read a lot during the church year, this is chapter 12, which is usually tagged on to a reading from chapter 11. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Of course, this reminds us that our job is to lay aside every weight. That gets to the let everyone take up his, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we have to run the race with endurance, which is one of the reasons why this comes in the middle of the fast, to remind us that we're not there yet, but the finish line is coming. But how do we take up our cross? Well, we have to look at Jesus Christ to see how he did it and follow his example, because that's what it says here. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," and we're told, "For the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God the Father." What joy was set before Christ? Obviously, it wasn't as if the Holy Trinity was somehow lacking something and was perhaps bored and needing some entertainment and decided that it needed to do something and that there was some reward at the end of all of that. The joy that was set before Christ was our salvation. So Christ was sacrificing himself for us, and this was an expression of his love. So when we look to Jesus and we follow his example, we should endure whatever cross is given us, despising whatever shame that comes along with that, for the joy that is set before us. Now, in our case, our own salvation is part of that joy. But also, we should be prepared to suffer for the sake of the cross, for the salvation of those who are around us. St. Paul continues in Hebrews chapter 12, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." I just saw an interview that Tom Hanks gave about his new HBO miniseries on the Pacific War, and was struck by a comment he made, but I'm going to have to clean it up because he used some spicy language. But he basically said he came away from that project with the feeling, what a wimp I am. When he looked at all these people in World War II who sacrificed so much, particularly the Marines who endured so many things, got off these little boats and charged up beaches where they were being shot at and shelled, and it took a lot of guts to do that. So his reaction to that was, what a wimp I am compared to these men who did such great things in World War II. But when we look to Christ, what wimps we are. I mean, Christ endured so much for us. When we read the Passion Gospels and we ponder everything that he endured for our sake, something that he didn't have to do, what wimps we are when we get discouraged and we get to the end of our tether over so much less. Elsewhere, St. Paul says, and this is Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. This is a very striking passage because he says he's rejoicing in his sufferings because he's filling up in his flesh, in other words, in his suffering, what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of the church. So the question we would logically ask is, what could possibly be lacking in the suffering of Christ? Well, obviously, St. Paul wasn't adding anything to the salvation that Christ accomplished for us in the cross, in the sense that Christ paid the penalty for our sins and provided a way for us to be saved. However, our sufferings can have a purpose. If we're bearing our cross and we're looking to Christ and we're following his example, in our lives, as Christ enables us to bear that cross, can shine the light of the gospel to those that are around us, and they'll see that light and be saved. What does St. Paul's sufferings accomplish? Well, ponder where the church would be without St. Paul. If St. Paul had never converted to Christianity, we would be lacking most of the New Testament. St. Paul's missionary journey spread the faith all over Asia Minor and all over the Mediterranean. What would we be lacking? We'd be lacking quite a bit. The question that we should be asking today is, where would the church be at some point in the future if you and I would truly deny ourselves and take up our own cross and truly follow Christ's example? Amen.